Welcome to ChiroFeast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic. Come and get it, everyone. Chiro Feast is online and we are ready to serve. And today, I'm going to bring to you a recording. It was an interview that I was a part of. I was being interviewed on another podcast, and this was a podcast done by a gentleman named David who helps dentists. So yeah, sounds weird. Here's this dentist interviewing me, a chiropractor, but his goal and his purpose is to help dentists become better business people, better entrepreneurs, just better human beings. And David and I resonate very, very strongly together. And so this is just a conversation, and I thought it would be good for you to hear this. And so we're replaying it here on Chiro Feast. And as you're listening to this, you have one assignment here. I want you to think about how this applies to you, how this conversation applies to you. How are you paying it forward to your profession? How are you paying it forward in your community? What more can you do? What are some things that you can get involved with that can help help other people? So enjoy this. Listen to it. I'm sure there's a nugget or two or 15 that you'll get from this. So please enjoy.
Good day, everyone. This is Dr. David Phelps of the Freedom Founders Mastermind and the Dentist Freedom Blueprint Podcast. Today, I'm really thrilled to bring onto our podcast a friend and somebody who I aspire to learn more from, and that's Dr. Jeff Daniels. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, you and I got the opportunity to connect some weeks ago when you had me on your podcast. And I told you that time, I said, look, there's so much good between the two of us and so many things that you bring that are aspirational, inspirational. I love all that you do. And really, your attitude and your culture and your values just pervades everything you are. So I thought it'd just be fun to have you on here. My podcast is for dentists, but not exclusively dentists. It's for anybody who aspires or is an entrepreneur. And I know that's a big part of your life and serving others. So let me give just a little bit of your bio background, because I think that's going to feed the rest of our story during this time we have together. So let me just give a little bit of that. I've got a couple notes here. Dr. Jeff Danielson is a passionate and creative serial entrepreneur of 19 LLCs. His life's mission is to pay it forward to the future of chiropractic through his coaching and training company, which is called Big Fish Enterprises, and to share the paying it forward mindset with all other industries. Jeff, you opened your first chiropractic clinic in 1999, Northern Life Wellness, and now that's been expanded to one of the largest and most profitable clinics across the Midwest. We'll kind of get into how that happened. 2007 is when you started Big Fish Enterprises, and this is really formed because of your dedication and your expertise and experience for training, coaching, investing in, mentoring young doctors across the country. So I love that aspect. And there's so much there that we can dig into, because I think it's so important that we can serve those next generations who could learn from our mistakes, but also some of the visions that we have at the same time. You've purchased and sold numerous businesses, everything between restaurants and commercial real estate, home healthcare, hospice. You've got a wide band there. I've got to dig into that and see how you pull that off. And again, going back to pay it forward, by doing what you do, I think your ability to collaborate with other people has to be a big part of how you make this happen, because there's so much there. Just a little bit of personal history about you is you live in the suburbs of Minneapolis, your lovely bride, Dion. You got two pups, and then you've got three children, Maddie, your eldest daughter, a recent U.S. Army veteran. Give her our best for her service to the country. She's now pursuing her master's degree for social work. And then your youngest, Sydney, attends college for data science in Hawaii. And then Cooper is earning his degree in college ministry in Arizona. Fantastic. So again, your mission is to continue to grow in your faith, helping lead others toward their true purpose in life. I love that. So where did this come from? Because the reason I'm saying this is, thinking back to my life journey, early on in life, it seems like, unless you're just an outlier, but we're very focused on getting through the school, you know, all the, you know, it's high school and it's college and it's entrance exams to get into our specialty training graduate school. And there's all these milestones that are laid out in front of us. And so typically we're driven, we're achievers, we're goal oriented. We don't hit those, but for those early years in life, it's all about us. At least it was for me. And not till later in life did I feel more of an abundance mindset to give back to others. Now, is that different for you? Did you come from a different mindset? I'm just, because mindset's a big part of what you talk about.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it came from work ethic. That's one of the things I learned from my father was he grew up on a farm. You know, bottom line is you grind, you work, and you know, you put in your time. Now, that being said, one of the things that I didn't learn from my dad was kind of know when to say when, and maybe know when to work smarter and not harder. You know, but before we even dig into all of that, you know, I'd like to say, if there's anybody that's listening to this that maybe is wondering, well, maybe I should tune out because this is a chiropractor talking to me. Let me tell you something. In speaking to a group of dentists, you're my people. Okay.
Right.
Dentists are my people because the dentist profession, I've got a huge respect for the dental profession because, and I always, I talk to my patients about dentistry a lot because people understand dentistry. They understand correcting crooked teeth. Right. They understand brushing their teeth, doing some, and I always ask people, do you brush your teeth because your teeth hurt? Well, no, I do it because it makes sense, you know, to take care of my teeth. You know, yes, you should do that for your spine as well as your teeth. You know, dentists figured it out. You know, 150 years ago, I mean, if you're watching an old Western, there's always a dentist in the old Westerns, right? What does the dentist do in the old Western? They pull teeth.
Yeah, that's all they do. Take a shot of whiskey and we're going to rip that tooth out, right? Yeah, exactly.
That was what dentists did. Well, that's not what dentists do now. You actually want to have your teeth. And so I love the dental profession. It's so brilliant what the way the dental profession has altered, has changed and become a profession of correcting a problem and preventing future problems. And that's the way we should look at everything. And if we put our efforts and our work ethic toward correcting problems for people, adding value to people, and then giving them hope that they can prevent those problems in the future, now you're bringing something that everybody on the planet needs. And the only people that are going to reject that are the dumb ones. Right. You know, the ones that just, they don't want. There are those people that don't want to be healthy, that don't want their teeth to look good and be healthy, you know, or have a healthy spine. There's a lot of people that, I mean, not a lot, but, you know, I have probably about an 80% acceptance rate of the plans that I put in front of my patients to correct their spine. But there's 20% of people that they don't want to spend the time, energy, or money to fix their problem. And they would rather wait until it gets even worse. And then, you know, eventually they are where they are and they have to have the teeth pulled, you know, or the tooth pulled, or they have to have spinal surgery instead of, you know, being able to correct their problem. So I resonate a ton with the dental profession. I use those terms a lot, but working smarter, not harder is kind of where things have gone for me. And then ultimately finding my purpose in life. And I think that maybe that's the question to ask your listeners today. Are you aware of what your purpose is? You know, and if you ask that question, and this is a great question, if you're sitting around a fire pit or something this summer or later this fall, and you've got a group of friends, ask them, what's your purpose in life? And you will find that a lot of people have not even really consciously gone through that exercise of determining why they think it is that they are on the planet. I mean, are you an accident? Or were you put here for a reason? What do you think that reason is? And, you know, I've had a lot of people, the most common answer to that is, well, I think I'm here to be happy and to bring happiness to other people. I mean, that's just kind of the most common answer. And, you know, that's always interesting. And you have to be delicate about how you deal with that, you know, with what people say, because their purpose is their purpose. It's not yours. But I think it's okay for us to challenge each other on each other's purposes as well.
No, I think that's really provocative to go there. And so you could even say, you know, what is your purpose? Do you know what that really is? My purpose is to be happy, help others become happy. Well, how do you define happiness for yourself? And to you, Jeff, so again, going back to, you know, our very focused training when we're, you know, going up to the ranks of formal academia and then getting out in the world and, you know, having a skill set or a license or whatever it is allows us to go, in case of health professions, you know, serving people on a technical level. But you didn't waste much time in, it looks like, exploring a greater aspect of service. Certainly you serve as a chiropractic clinician. You just alluded to that, but look at the other things you've done. And you mentioned your father's work ethic. So you definitely ascribe to that, but you said working smarter. So how did you allocate your time in creating so much forward momentum? I'm gonna just put it that way, in these different business pursuits. As we talked in the past before, this is not about you building some massive wealth empire. It's part of your DNA. And so when you have these different LLCs, these companies, these different pursuits outside of chiropractic, which was your main academic focus, how were you able to do that? Still raise, you know, have a family, raise kids, be responsive to, you know, your faith. It sounds like this is like some inordinate amount of multitasking, but I don't think that's the right word for it. So give us some help here, because I know you, other people ask you the same question. How do you get done what you get done and feel good about every day getting up? Because I can tell by your energy, it's like I feel every day is a great day, and I don't look at a schedule and go, oh my gosh, I have to X, right? So how did this happen for you? How did you experience it?
You know, the easy answer is to say one step at a time. And that's also my warning to young entrepreneurs. So, you know, I'm 54 years old. You know, I've been through a lot over the last, you know, 30 years in practice or so. I've learned a lot. I've implemented a lot, and it didn't all happen instantly. So, you know, I in my main clinic, in Burnsville, Minnesota, my main chiropractic clinic, I have multiple, but my main clinic where I do my training, I bring young doctors and entrepreneurs into my practice as interns. And they look at my clinic, 9,000 square feet. We've got 15 employees. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. It's a gorgeous office overlooking a huge pond. I mean, it's a wonderful place. And I have to tell people, look, I did not get to this with 15 employees all knowing their role and knowing what's going on. Did not happen overnight. It started with one person. And so, you know, I poured myself into one person that I not only needed, but I wanted to help inspire. And so it started early for me where I saw an opportunity to help another young doctor. So I was a young doctor, but I actually brought on a doctor that was just a year behind me in practice. And so basically the same age. And to be honest with you, she's still practicing in my office today, you know, almost 30 years later. You know, I saw the opportunity for that person to help me, okay, help me develop my practice, but I saw an opportunity for me to help this person develop their dream and develop their business. And so I started with that one person, and then it became another person, and then it became a few more staff people. And, you know, and I also have had mentors. Now, I didn't do as well at that as I wish I could have, which is why today I'm a mentor and a coach for chiropractors and, you know, for people in the restaurant industry as well, because I see that there's a lack of good mentorship. out there. And I believe that's your heart and soul as well, David. And so, you know, that's why I think we resonate really well together, because you see the opportunity to speak into people's lives and be a good mentor, not just in the art and craft of dentistry or the art and craft of chiropractic, but the art and craft of life. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the best coaching session that I'm involved with is how to get through a marital issue and not destroy your marriage, how to be a better father, how to be a better mentor to other people, how to hire better, how to pour into your team, how to be a leader that is worth following. You know, there's so many things that we can offer as a mentor. And if you don't think you're a leader, any of you that are listening right now, if you don't think that you are a leader and a mentor to others, you are dead wrong. And you do not have to be charismatic, okay? And you do not have to be this big, person that we see. I could probably name 10 that people, can think of off the top of your head, but, they're these dynamic people that are in your face and great, motivational people or whatever. You do not have to be that. That's not what people are necessarily looking for. They're looking for authenticity.
Yes.
They're looking for somebody real, just somebody that can speak to their heart, somebody that can talk to them like a real person and can relate to them. And, I can relate to everybody because I was in their shoes before, So I think it starts with that, and it starts with understanding that you're not going to grow your mountain of, things that you're doing, all the things that I'm involved with. That doesn't happen overnight. Thank goodness. I'd be dead. But if you add a little bit at a time, you add what you can handle.
These are really good reference points, I think, particularly today. We can certainly look back over the last 3 years and so many changes culturally, societally, the entitlement mentality or attitude that unfortunately has become relatively pervasive. Being a leader, as you said, doesn't require being a Tony Robbins type of personality, but it takes intentionality. And I think that a lot of people who like us in our skills and our training, there's a tendency to want to just focus on that. Well, I want to just do, help people with their spines, or I want to help people with their teeth or whatever it might be. And I really don't want to get involved. I'd rather just have everything else just work for me. And so I don't want to deal with that. And yet the biggest complaint I hear from small business owners, whether it's in our fields or elsewhere, it's with the labor force today. Well, the millennials, right? Or COVID has just, ruined everything, and the labor force is tough today. And I get in my realm of working with people, Jeff, and you probably hear it too, is in dentistry. Like the last two years, I've had massive turnover, in the ranks. And I get it. I mean, that does wear you down when every day you show up and you've just got to deal with, well, we have to deal with people, whether it's our team or the people we serve, and that can wear one out. And you talked about, having an intern to an associate who's been practicing with you for 30 years. Obviously, that comes with, a culture that you've created that attracts the right person. So how do we deal with that? You even said earlier today, there's 20% of the people who don't really care about their health, right? It's just, and so how do you filter? How do you find the people who you do want to sew into, and you see if they want that? You have some special processes, filters. How do you decide, hey, this is a person that I think would be great for the team or to be with me in any one of my businesses? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, if I knew the answer to that one, Dave.
Come on. I just want the silver bullet, Jeff. I mean, that's
right. Jillian, unfortunately, I'll say the unfortunate thing and then I'll say the fortunate thing. Unfortunately, most of the time you won't know if you have the right person until you give them a shot. Now, you can filter, you can ask the right questions during an interview process. You can snoop on people on their Facebook and Instagram and see what kind of things they're interested in. You can do all kinds of things to, you can have a five-step interview process if you want. You can do things that better your chances. But ultimately, until you see a human being insert themselves into your culture and have the opportunity to grow, to learn, to start to be a leader themselves in their role, whatever their role might be, until you see them work, you're not going to know if they're the right fit. The fortunate thing is that anybody that sets foot into my business, even if they're the wrong fit, and like you said, man, over the last 3 years, it's been a poop show. I mean, there's been so many people that have come and gone and just haven't been a good fit. And there's just a lot of people searching right now for who they are. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that came out of COVID, and that's good and bad. It's bad for, employers, because we're trying to find people and we're finding people, but they don't know what they want.
That's right.
But on the good side, they're searching and they're asking better questions, and they're deciding for themselves, because, I think everybody at some point said, oh, is this the disease that kills half the population of the earth? Am I going to still be standing after this thing? Now hindsight, we look back at this and it's going to be a blip on the screen, right? It's a nothing burger, but there's a lot of people that were forced to answer the question, why am I here? What should I be doing? Do I want to waste my time at this job if I don't really love it? And so there were a lot of people that were in and out and trying things and working from home. And hey, what if I do this? What if I do that? And maybe I want to be a movie star, whatever. I'm going to start to paint and I'm going to make money painting, whatever. I think it at least forced people to ask big questions and stronger questions. And any person that sets foot in your business as an employee or an intern or whatever, that gives you an opportunity to speak into their life. Even if they don't work out and it only lasted for 2 months, you had an opportunity to connect with them and to maybe plant a seed that somehow becomes something greater 20 years down the road. In fact, I might be dead, long gone. Mm-hmm. There's going to be seeds that grow into fruit that I don't even know about. That's my prayer. That's my hope, is that God works through the small things that we can do on a daily basis. And that really cool things happen years and even decades after I'm long gone.
So that's part of your PIFF mindset. Do you mind going down the rabbit trail on that a little bit and describe that acronym and how that's played out in your life?
Yeah. So PIFF, P-I-F-F, I have a holding company called PIFF Holdings. And people will ask me, what does PIFF stand for? Sounds like one of those words that you would see on an old Batman TV show. Bam, bop, PIFF. And PIFF stands for Pay It Forward Focused. And ultimately it came from, this stems from my faith, and I've asked myself my whole life, what does God want me to do? Why am I here on this planet? Why have I been given this opportunity to have a healthy body and a healthy mind and a healthy spirit? Why am I here? What kind of an impact does God want me to have? And what kind of opportunities is God going to put in front of me to help the mission, and so ultimately, this was a movie that my wife and I watched when we were on our honeymoon. So we were in a home in Breckenridge, Colorado for our honeymoon. And one of the videos, and it was a VCR at the time, okay? So I'm dating myself, but there was a video cassette movie, and it was called Pay It Forward. Mm-hmm. Haley Joel Osment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know.
Kevin Spacey's in that movie. Helen Hunt, I think.
Yes, yes.
And we watched that movie, and I was impacted by that movie. I mean, it made an impact on me because it made me ask the question, okay, if this young child can have an impact on a homeless person and a wealthy millionaire and all these people, if he can have an impact, then why not me? Why should I not take it seriously enough that if I can impact three people, that then those three people can impact three people. It's a multi-level pyramid, if you want to call it that, for good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So how do we do this? How do we create this? And so that's what started my brain thinking about, okay, in my practice, in my chiropractic practice at that time, how can I pay it forward? How can I do more? And I started speaking at schools, at chiropractic schools, and speaking to students. And I would bring students in as interns and I would teach them. And then I would bring them on as associates. And then I started buying chiropractic practices and putting trained doctors into those practices and paying it forward by allowing them to buy me out after 3 years. And okay. So now they head start. And if I coach them and mentor them well, then they won't make the mistakes that I made in practice, because I didn't have that mentor that really spoke to me authentically that way, that taught me, you know, not only how to do chiropractic well, but how to live life well. And so how can I do that for other chiropractors? And I wanted to make the chiropractic profession better, to leave a mark and not leave a stain. You know, how do we do that? And so that's what, you know, just enveloped in my brain. And we've been paying it forward. We've got over 27 clinics now that have been birthed through the chiropractic, through the Big Fish program. I love coaching chiropractors. I love teaching chiropractors. I have a podcast that actually is listened to by people in all kinds of professions, from, you know, financial planners to real estate people will listen to Chiro Feast. It's not just for chiropractors. It's for all people. And as dentists, you guys would relate to even to the chiropractic topics that we talk about.
Because, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it's correction and it's maintenance and prevention and all of that. But that's where the pay it forward mentality came from. Now over the last 7-8 years, I've been able to insert that into the restaurant industry, which has been a whole nother interesting project.
So you kind of answered one of the questions I had, but I want to just bring it to the forefront. A lot of the businesses you have created or co-created by bringing an associate, another, in this case, doctor for chiropractic clinics, allowed you to, you know, expand your influence, your pay it forward focused mindset. And then you allowed the right person, obviously, to buy you out. So entering a business, co-collaborating on it, and then a buyout formula. Are you doing the same thing? You just mentioned restaurants, hospitality. Are you doing the same thing there? Or is there a different model that you're using there? Is there a longer position there? Or how are you working that? Because it's totally different than chiropractic, obviously.
Yeah, it's very different. But the same type of model is what we're putting into our restaurants as well. And what's interesting is the cycle is faster with restaurants, potentially, than it is with chiropractic students. Because I might meet a chiropractic student in their first trimester, and they've got 4 years of school still to go. And then, you know, might be another 3 years after before they can potentially buy into a clinic, et cetera. But with restaurants, what's interesting is that if you're motivated and you're open to the idea, if you're coachable, if you're mentorable, if that's a word, then you can move from working as a host or a hostess to being a server, to being a bartender, to being an assistant bar manager, to being a bar manager, to being a supervisor at the restaurant, to being an assistant general manager, to being a general manager, to being an owner of a part of a restaurant. You can do that. Honestly, I've seen it done now in 2 years.
Wow.
It can happen fast, because restaurants are not used to seeing motivated entrepreneurs. And so if you're in the restaurant industry and you enjoy the hospitality industry, you can see that position as one that can grow into owning a restaurant, you know, and or managing a restaurant, being a general manager. And my goodness, I have no idea how much executive chefs can earn. But they do very, very well. And it's only gotten way better in the last like 3 years. So if you aspire to be an executive chef, you can have that happen, and you can have it happen pretty quickly. And so we're looking for human beings that are coachable, human beings that have a vision for just being open to the opportunities that might be in front of them, and to not look at their position, even if they're bussing tables at a restaurant, but look for the opportunity to learn, to experience, to grow, and then to grab onto an opportunity when it's presented to them.
Jeff, outside of your mindset, which is critical to everything that you do, that any of us do, outside of your mindset, is there a key element to your ability to leverage yourself, your vision, is there a key person that you would say would be a critical part of allowing someone like you to expand your influence or impact, or is it processes or systems, or is it a combination thereof?
So when you say that there's a key person, are you talking about somebody that's in my life?
Yeah. Because you can't do it. I mean, you've already talked about how you love to serve and coach and mentor, which I love that. I'm total agreement. But with everything you're doing in multiple clinics and lots of touch points with a lot of people in all these businesses, how do you leverage your time? Do you have other people that are in your close inner circle? Is there a key person, an executive assistant? Do you have, you know, CEO, C-suite people? And wherever you are today, how would you tell someone who has aspirations to spread their influence and impact, where would they start? Is it surrounding yourself with a key person or processes, systems, or what are the keys that you found that worked well for you? That's what I'm looking for.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, as you're growing in this type of mindset and maybe developing businesses, et cetera, there are going to be times when you're wearing a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. I own a clinic in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I've got a doctor that works in that clinic. We started the clinic from scratch, from zero. He is still the only employee. He has no billing person. He has no front desk person. He doesn't have anybody cleaning the office after hours. He cleans the place. He does the billing. He does the adjustments. He does the marketing. He does everything because we started from scratch. But the key for him is this. He's learning all of these different duties. And then he's going to be hiring people to take over some of those duties. So you're looking for those support people that you're talking about.
Right.
You're looking for the people that can join you in the vision, and then can take some of the things off your plate so that you can focus on what things you only can do, and you offload some of the things that other folks can do probably better than you. You know, I guarantee you this doctor that I'm talking about in Grand Rapids, and he's an amazing man. He's a wonderful young man. He is not a good front desk person. Not good at doing the front desk. That is not where he needs to be. He's creative. He's a creative genius. He's a very social person. He's likable. All these pieces. He needs to spend his time developing relationships and being a great chiropractor, and not working on billing or the front desk and those kind of things. And so finding the people to take things off your plate is going to be very, very important. And as you continue to grow in your business and grow whatever empire you're working on, finding more high-level people and then paying them appropriately as well to take significant things off your plate so that you can do even higher level actions as well. Now, just to mention, I didn't know anything about the restaurant industry when I got into it. I saw it as an opportunity to invest in something that I didn't know anything about, but I wanted to learn. So the way I thought about it, honestly, is I thought to myself, and my very first investment was $50,000. And so I took $50,000 and invested into a certain portion of a restaurant. It was a small portion, but that was my first foray into it. And then opportunities grew out of that one opportunity. But I saw it as, okay, I'm going to pay tuition to the School of Life and entrepreneurship in the hospitality industry. And so I invested in that, knowing full well that I could lose it because I was not in control. I had a number of other partners. I think we had 13 partners in that restaurant.
Wow.
And I was I was a chiropractor, you know. Now I have a certain skill set and good with people and developing people and leadership and things like that. But I didn't know anything about running a restaurant, front of the house, back of the house, you know, ticket times. I didn't know anything about any of that. POS systems, what's that? You know, I didn't know any of that. But I knew that for $50,000, I'm going to learn something. And yes, that's what I was, interested in doing. Well, that same restaurant last year did almost $7 million. So that same restaurant has been a great learning experience for me. We've had ups, we've had downs, we've, you know, had all kinds of stuff. COVID happened. We were shut down twice in the state of Minnesota. I mean, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was crazy. The calisthenics that we did entrepreneurially was unfathomable, you know, and I would never have thought that a restaurant of all places was going to survive. But not only did we survive, but we've been able to thrive. We had to make it, you know, we had to get through it. And a lot of times there's always a way to get through it, but having good people around you. I had people, and some of my partners were exceptional restaurateurs, very good restaurant people. And so I surrounded myself with great people. They're really the ones that did it. I mean, they would probably say that I had a part in, you know, leading us through that as well, just through my attitude and other things. But honestly, they're the ones that did it. And I think we're all stronger for it on the other side of it.
So many times in life, when we go through tough times, that's where the other side, we learn so many great lessons. And when you've had a team that goes through anything that's tough, that team typically bonds together stronger, or you find out who should be part of the team and maybe some people weren't, but whoever sticks together gets to the other side, you've got such a strong bond. And then you look at each other and go, well, bring it on. What else could possibly go wrong? Like worse than COVID? Because as you said, being shut down for weeks or months at a time to any business, you would think would be almost untenable, right? And a lot of businesses didn't make it. Let's be fair. Bars and restaurants around the country, I know many didn't get through, unfortunately, and that's very tough. Those who were able to make it, the ability to survive on that basis gives you a lot of a lot of pride amongst everybody. I'm sure it just raised the bar for everybody that's part of that particular enterprise.
Yeah. One quick story is one of our restaurants is actually inside of a hotel. So it's inside an Embassy Suites in Minneapolis, right by the airport. Great location, phenomenal investment. And this restaurant that we own inside of the hotel on paper is a phenomenal investment because it's got 35 years of history. And you know, the problem with COVID was that, yes, it shut down restaurants, but guess what it did to hotels? Obliviated them, especially in Embassy Suites where we were a location where conferences were held. Right. So anything with a gathering where businesses were doing conferences and stuff like that, we were the hub of conferences. Yeah. And there's 11 stories of hotel rooms, 11 floors. And there was at one point during COVID, there was a day when there was only one room occupied. How do you keep a hotel running when you've got one room occupied out of 11 floors of rooms? How do you run a restaurant when there's one person in the whole hotel? Incredible. You know, you look at that and you scratch your head going, only by the grace of God did we survive that, and through some very, very smart people that I work with.
Well, Jeff, we could have, and we should have, and we will have more conversations, because I think this is just the beginning of fishing out from you, to use your name of your enterprise, fishing out from you more of what makes you who you are. And I love your mindset of how you pay it forward and have really put forth into so many other people. You help them grow. At the same time, you're growing the impact generationally. And I love that.
Well, and David, I'll just say this, and you're not paying me to say this, doggone it, but for those that are listening to you and that are following you, they are following you because of your humble and authentic, genuine attitude When I was able to interview you, there was nothing salesy about you. There is a conscious, pure desire to help others that comes through. And so that to me means everything. I've become pretty good at spotting the opposite in people, the narcissism that's in our world, we can do without. And so I love to hitch my wagon to people that are genuine and authentic and are here for a higher purpose. So thank you for being who you are.
Well, thank you, Jeff. We'll put the ways to contact you on our show notes, but just for those who want to note it, you can find Jeff at mybigfishenterprises.com, Facebook, Big Fish Enterprises. There's Instagram and also your email. We'll put that in the links accordingly. And definitely want to have you back because I'd like to go down deeper in some of these areas we were just able to touch upon today. But Jeff Danielson, such a pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, and that, like I mentioned, a cool resource for people that enjoy podcast episodes is Cairo Feast. I recently did a episode with Michael Gerber. A lot of you might know who Michael Gerber, who wrote The E-Myth. He was a guest on my show. I've got a lot of great people that I interview, and I love doing it. So, please use that as a resource. I should probably figure out how to make money with my podcast. I haven't figured that out yet. But for right now, I'm just pushing information out there so that it's a good resource for people to listen to.
Yeah, well, you're a great resource. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for having me.